If you and your ex-partner can't agree maintenance payments for your children, then soon you might have to pay a hefty fee to get the government to help sort it out. The Child Support Agency is being replaced by a new organisation called the Child Maintenance Service. The government hopes that by simplifying the way the amount a non-resident parent pays in maintenance and providing stuff like mentoring, disputes will be less common. Letters are being sent out this week warning parents that if they are unable to agree maintenance arrangements between themselves, then the new Child Maintenance Service will step in and both parents will be charged. The non-resident parent, normally the dad but not always, will pay an extra 20% of the agreed maintenance payout, and the resident parent will pay 4%. So would mediation help you and your partner settle your differences, and would a potential charge help incentivise you to sort things out? Let's talk to various people. We'll hear from Jane Roby, the Chief Executive of the National Family Mediation Charity, shortly. But first, Five Lives' Nick Garnett is in Huddersfield. Morning, Nick. Just explain what the changes are and what the government wants to achieve.
Right, well, the government wants to achieve the following. You see, the government didn't like the CSA, which was the agency that was in place up until now. The mothers and fathers who used it didn't like the CSA. And from speaking in the past to people who worked there, they often didn't like the CSA either. It was a system that tended to embed confrontation, often used as a weapon by one side against the other. And it cost an absolute fortune. The new system tries to make parents come to an agreement without involving any agency. And the carrot is, as you said, that it will be cheaper for both sides to agree than disagree. Because if the CMS, the Child Maintenance Service, does get involved, both parents will end up paying. The one who makes payments to the other will pay an extra 20% to the CMS, and the parent who received the money will have to hand over 4% of that to the government. Now, the government says that it's a fairer system. It will convince couples to come to an arrangement, but is it just a way of making both sides suffer financially? The minister with responsibility for child support is Stephen Webb.
You don't pay these charges, this 4%, if we don't succeed. If we do, 96 pence in the pound goes to the parent who receives the money. But crucially, because there's a 20% penalty on the dad in most cases, he has a strong incentive to be paying direct to mum, in which case all these charges drop away. So it's a much better system for children and for parents.
So how's it going to go down with those people at the sharp end? Vicky Med is a mediator and family lawyer at Ridley and Hall in Huddersfield. Are things going to be busier for mediation services now?
It's probably going to be a little bit busier, I would imagine. The mediations that we do now usually involve some element of child maintenance with parents trying to agree.
The government says that this is going to be less confrontational. Is that the case?
I think in theory it's a good idea. But sadly, not all parents take on their responsibilities. There are always cases where absent parents don't want to pay maintenance and that this system really doesn't help them.
Is this a good idea, though, to try and get both sides to realise that going to the government is a last option so they've got to come to an agreement?
Yes, that's right. Mediation, the whole ethos behind mediation is for couples to try and agree things between them. It's seen as less confrontational and less harmful for children. So in those circumstances, it is a good idea. Sadly, the reality is that some parents simply shirk their responsibilities. And for those parents who are left looking after the children, they're in a very difficult position.
Mediation, obviously, or a lot of the time, isn't a legally binding document. Now, for married couples, it can be tied into part of the divorce process. But for unmarried couples, is there a problem there?
Yes, there is. With married couples, when people go through divorce, they can agree finances in mediation. And it's very easy for that to be converted into a legally binding document called a consent order within divorce proceedings. For unmarried couples, that's not the case. They would simply have an agreement as between themselves. And sadly, if one of them broke it, they'd be forced to go back to the Child Maintenance Service and have to pay the fees.
Finally from me, will the new system be hated any less than the CSA?
By people who can reach an agreement, I think it probably will be. There are lots of people who have to go to the CSA at the moment who are on benefits, certain types of benefits. That won't happen, so that will be a good thing, but it will still be hated by many.
Victoria, there you go. So a good change in theory, but in practice still remains to be seen.
Thank you, Nick. Jane Roby, Chief Executive of the National Family Mediation Charity. Hello.
Morning.
Amber Thassetti, a single mum in Portsmouth who used mediation to reach an agreement with her former partner. Amber, hello.
Hi.
And Amy Miles is with us, a single mum in Reading with a one-year-old daughter. Amy, welcome to the programme.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming on. Jane Roby, first of all, your response to the government plans for these effectively either charges or financial penalty, whichever way you look at it.
Well, I think that there's an easy way to avoid the charges, and that is to come into mediation. I mean, I appreciate what Victoria was saying about mediation, but I feel much more optimistic about using mediation than I think that she managed to get across. I mean, we are successful in 83.5% of our cases. And of course, when you're separating, whether you're married or not, child maintenance, when you've got children, is an intrinsic part of that separation.
Amy Miles, will mediation work? Do you think? What do you think of these government plans?
I had no choice but to use the CSA. I couldn't track him down. He wasn't in contact with me. So I gave them the up-to-date information I had. I had no phone number, and they traced him via HMRC and his taxes.
Right.
And it was a deduction of earnings court order for the first year. So he ignored her, and he still never met her.
The daughter, you mean?
Yeah, my daughter.
Your daughter, okay. Jane, I mean, in the new system, would Amy have to track him down using HMRC or HMRC and then suggest media?
I can't get that information. It's private, isn't it? It's confidential.
Yes, I mean, you know, obviously, if things have deteriorated to such an extent, then you have to take more extreme measures. I mean,
but that means Amy would be penalised,
yes,
when it's not really her fault,
no,
not because the HMRC won't give her the details. You know,
yeah, that's one of the concerns, and I guess she'd have no option but to either go down the legal route or use the new CMS service.
Mm.
In the short term.
There's no reliability there. So I only get my payments because they're guaranteed. He has to pay them, and I get a message from them, a text message, to say the money's in. But he's defaulted so many times. How am I going to make sure that money's going to come in every month?
It sounds to me as though between you do need to somehow come together and try and talk about what you're going to do for the longer term future. And I appreciate that that's not an easy thing to do when feelings run as they do. But I'm sure that mediation might be able to help you if you could both come together.
I can't see he'd do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, how it doesn't sound hugely likely.
He's not going to do that.
Most people.
Ignorance is bliss in his world.
Mm.
Yeah, most people would say the other one won't do it, but we are able to talk to people about trying it. I'm not saying it's easy. Mediation isn't an easy thing to do, especially when you feel the way you do about it. But, you know, you're facing the next 15, 20 years of this kind of behaviour, and something needs to change.
Amy, do you mind me asking why he has no interest in meeting his daughter?
He just never has. He didn't want to know when I told him I was pregnant. It wasn't anything of interest to him. So.
Right.
But he does have two other children, one of which he did have an interest in.
Okay. Amber, tell us your experience of mediation.
Well, we used mediation earlier this year. It was a situation where we couldn't come to an agreement on the things that we were talking about between us. Every time we spoke to each other, this ended into argument and blame. And really, I just wanted to progress forward in my life for the sake of my children and my own sanity.
Mm. Just going over old ground otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was the one that suggested mediation. I contacted the Hampshire Mediation Centre, and they arranged the visits. So they contacted my ex. They arranged a visit with him. And then we had a visit with both of us together. And really, we only needed that one joint consultation and everything was sorted.
Can you give us a little bit more detail of...
Was he cooperative? Did he attend?
He attended, yep.
But in terms of, you know, where are you? Are you in your house, his house, neutral ground?
Oh,
are you in a kitchen?
In the mediating centre.
Right, OK. And so this is just a very ordinary, mundane room. And there's you and there's him. And who else is in there?
The mediator there. She spoke to us separately, got our background information. You know, she spoke to me about exactly what I wanted to achieve from it. And then obviously she needed to speak to Paul, my ex, and to see whether he agreed with what I said, whether I'd been unreasonable. you know, we really needed to get the whole of the background picture before we could move forwards.
What you're describing is what happens in mediation. We meet with both parties separately so that they have an opportunity to find out what mediation is, to share their concerns about what might happen and what it is they want to address. And then the mediator works with both of them so that they're...
Has he kept up with his payments since you arranged it? Has he honoured
Everything we spoke about has stayed exactly the same,
What's the atmosphere like, Amber?
It's pretty good these days.
When you were in that room with him and the mediator.
Sorry, beg your pardon. It was so relaxed. I felt like it was easy to talk. It was easier to talk to the mediator than it was to my ex, obviously. Mm. But to be able to talk to him, knowing that he can't just go mad at me, and to know that I have to pay attention and listen to him as well. I can't just lose it and get angry at him.
Mm.
You know, having somebody else there really made such a difference. You have to sort of grow up and be an adult about it.
Mm. I mean, I suppose, you know, what I'd say with these changes is that actually coming to mediation might be a shrewd long-term financial investment, because you can reach an agreement in mediation and you can avoid all those charges.
Have they said that if mediation doesn't work, that there won't be the charge? If all avenues have been exhausted and he's not going to cooperate?
I don't know the answer to that, but I know that they're promoting...
So if there's a deduction of earnings order in place, is there a deduction of their fee on top of that?
Yes. It'll be
20%. I've got no way of influencing that, have I?
Well, I mean, from his point of view, you know, that's going to cost him quite a lot over the course of a year, over the course of the next 5-10 years. So it would be in his interests to look at doing something differently.
I've got a text here from one listener, Jane. I don't know if you can answer this. What about somebody who thinks the proposal is ridiculous and asks, what about the recipient who refuses to accept a settlement knowing that the non-resident parent will face a 20% financial penalty?
That's not very fair, is it? It's penalising you and them, so you'd be foolish to do that.
I mean, that I suppose you see in mediation what... When you can reach an agreement, because when you separate, it isn't just about child maintenance, is it? It's about all your finances. It's about where you're going to live. It's about how you're going to support yourself, particularly how you're going to support the children. And supporting the children isn't just about the cash. It's where you're going to live.
No. Yeah, and it's about visitation rights and things like that.
It involves family. It's both parts, his side and yours.
So it's much bigger. It's much, much bigger than the...
I think the finance is just the tip of the iceberg, isn't
it? Yes, yes. And future relationships and future family events and your children's development and their futures. And you've got to be able to talk to each other.
Yep. I'd agree with you, definitely. You know, I found that my communication with my ex has developed greatly since we used mediation. I'm now more focused on my reaction to what he has to say rather than he's been unreasonable.
If the arrangement falls over, do you go back to the mediator for her to take control of it again?
Well, you can do. I mean, that's one of the benefits. You see, if you get caught into the paying maintenance system, then that's 20%, 20%, 20% for the...
But I mean, if mediation's happened, he agrees a payment plan, defaults in it, what do you do to rectify that?
You can come back to... Yes, if you still can't talk, if you still can't discuss, because, of course, your circumstances change as well. Mm. And what happens if there's a genuine case where, you know, people are being made redundant left, right and centre? Today they no longer have the money. You need to be able to talk about it so that you can make different arrangements.
Let me bring in Ian in Bedfordshire. Good morning, Ian. Hello.
Hello there.
Yeah, how are you?
Fine. I don't think this system will work in the same way that the CSA didn't work.
Go on.
Because it's used as a weapon. It's not used for the purposes it was intended. And especially if the non-resident parent, which is in most cases the father, he's got to pay 20% of the as a fee, then again that will just get abused and used as a weapon just out of nastiness.
But the resident parent would also have to pay a fee as
only 4%.
Yeah, but what a waste of money. I mean, I know we cannot, you know, we take into account human beings and their vagaries and their frailties and their weaknesses and their meanness, of course, but come on.
Common sense must prevail.
Okay, then. Let me give you my example.
Yeah.
I split up with my ex when we had, about 8 years ago, we had a three-year-old son. And I found out how much I should pay, and I paid every month. Then I also agreed that she would get two-thirds of everything so that she could find somewhere decent to live with my son. And she took that money, and I didn't see my son for 4 years. Mm. And on one month, when the only thing I could do to see him was to withhold money, within 2 weeks of withholding that money, she had the CSA on to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And I've paid ever since. 4 years ago, I started getting contact with him, which is obviously brilliant. And now I'm in the situation where she's refused mediation because she's got a violent boyfriend, and I've had to take him out of, physically kidnap him from the house, and he now lives with his maternal grandparents, and I pay them the money.
Kidnap your son?
Now, well, I'd had him for a weekend, and I took him to his maternal grandparents at the end of that weekend. I wouldn't let him go home.
Right.
And she's got a violent boyfriend.
And when was that, Ian?
That was 6 weeks ago.
Okay. And what has she done since, just out of interest, if you don't mind me asking?
Believe it or not, she's quite happy for my son to live with her parents so she can carry on seeing this guy.
Right, okay.
Shirking your responsibilities, isn't it?
How can you tell me that any agency can sort that out? They can't.
I think you're right there, of course. I think, you know.
Presumably social services are now involved.
I don't have a bad word to say about it, the way it is at the moment. Mm. It's worked for me for the last nearly 2 years. When he lost his job, they were all over it. I rang them up with certain bits of evidence, and they followed it up. And after a short period, he got a job, and my money started coming in again. But I don't have an experience like that.
You know, you would have understood he'd lost his job. I mean, I appreciate that you don't trust him at all.
But what happened was, is his employer and him, as the onus is on him to tell CSA, that he didn't inform them. He just stopped working for them, and then I got nothing for a while because he didn't tell them he lost his job, whereas I should have got the £5 a week off income support, and I got nothing. And then in the end, it sorted itself out when he got his job again, but I was with nothing for quite a while, and I had nursery fees to pay.
I had a period of 2 months last year where no money was coming in, and that wasn't to do with my ex, that was to do with the CSA. I phoned them up and they said, oh yeah, somebody's not filled in this form or whatever it was in the computer system. So my ex has now had to pay over the amount that he should be paying to make up for it. So that's not fair on him. I had to go behind my rent last year, which then I've had to try and claw back somehow. It's a complete mess.
Yeah. Okay.
And that, again, it wasn't his fault. That was the CSA.
Sure. OK, well, it's going to be really interesting to see how this works and if it works. And I'm really grateful for all your time. Thank you very much, Ian and Amber and Amy and Jane Roby, Chief Executive of the National Family Mediation Charity. Let's hear your views on whether you think these government plans will work. And particularly if you've been through mediation, did it help? 0500 909 693. Or you can text 850 58 or send me an email, victoria@bbc.co.uk.